Do you ever wonder about the way things could have or should have been? Those things you could have done differently? We do things that we wish we hadn't done. We don't do things that we are sure would have made a difference if we had followed through. A lost word, a word too many. We wonder about the alternatives, the variable outcomes, how our lives touch others, the consequences of those encounters. What if we hadn't given a kind word? We're creatures of imagination. We wonder, we wish, we dream, constantly building our own reality within our minds, whether there is a basis for it in fact or not. We long for times when things are perfect, a perfect peace, a place of peace, a time of peace. We long for the times that we read about, like those in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 24 through 28, where the scripture says, "My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. And they will live on the land that I gave to Yaakov, my servant, in which your fathers lived. And they will live on it, they and their sons and their sons' sons, forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. And I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them. I will be their Elohim. And they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever." Sometimes we long for things so much. We want those things so badly that we lose sight of the present reality. We fail to realize the difference between truth and fiction, albeit a very desirable fiction that we want to create. And it may be a very noble image within our imagination. It can cause us to lose sight of the truth of the age. Ezekiel's vision of the Davidic kingdom is a wonderful picture of things that could have been, as well as things that are to come. As long as we temper our musings with Yahweh's word, we can have some assurance that the truth will be the result. Just as people throughout history have dreamt of the Davidic kingdom, they have jointly dreamt for the one shepherd that would be their king, dreams of everlasting covenant, the sanctuary dwelling in their midst. We're approaching that time of year when we give special attention to Messiah, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. We look forward to his return, redeeming his bride, ushering in the promised kingdom, a time of shalom. At the time of Messiah's first appearing, Israel was desiring a redeemer. They were desperate. They were under Roman rule, an oppressed people. The religious leaders were all looking for him. They had the dream of his appearing in their darkest hour. How could they have missed the Messiah? Some say that they were ignorant of the prophecies, that they could only have known who he was after the prophecies were fulfilled. And they say that we know, we can recognize Messiah, because we have had hundreds of years to study the prophecies, to match them with his life, and determine that he fulfilled all of the prophecies and that they all fit. Scriptures are very clear that the learned men, the religious leaders, those in charge of Israel, and the learned men from other parts of the Middle East understood very well the prophecies and who the Messiah was to be. Let's read along in the book of Matthew, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, where it says, "Now, after Yahshua was born in Bethlehem," that's Beit Lechem, "of Yehuda, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of Yehuda? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, 'Where was the Messiah to be born?' And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Yehuda, for this is what was written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Yehuda, are by no means least among the leaders of Yehuda, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The priests, the scribes, they knew exactly how to answer Herod. They knew the writings of Micah the prophet. They knew what the scriptures had to say about Messiah. The nation of Israel was looking for a Messiah that would set them free, a Messiah that would take control of a bad situation and turn it around, a Messiah that would take all of their worldly troubles and cast them away. They wanted a Messiah that would be a mighty conqueror, that would lead them away from their present worldly problems. While they were wound up in their imagination and desire of the current present danger, they missed the reality of the situation. The reality was that Yahweh had different priorities, that the conquering Messiah that they longed for would not set them free from the Roman oppressors. Rather, the conquering Messiah would set them free from the oppression of sin. He would open their eyes that they might see Yahweh. He would carry them to victory, but not a victory over Rome, but a victory over death. The Messiah that came so many years ago was a spiritual redeemer and not a physical deliverer. There is a lesson for us today as we look forward to the second coming of Yeshua, Messiah. We're often guilty of some of the same mistakes made by the Yahudim of 2,000 years ago. We imagine a Savior to satisfy our needs as we see them. We look forward to a time of perfection in the assembly. No more suffering. We pray for the day when Messiah will destroy the wicked and put an end to the curse. That day is sure. There is scriptural proof. Yahweh has promised that these things will happen. We have studied the scriptures. We know the signs of the times. We're ready for his coming. We're ready. There is no chance of us missing him. We will not repeat the same mistakes of the Yahudim 2,000 years ago. I pray. When Messiah came the first time, he came so that men could see who Yahweh was. He came to reintroduce us to our Heavenly Father by living the Torah perfectly and showing us the loving nature of Yahweh. If we fail to see Yahshua Messiah, the living Torah, for who he is, what he can do for us is irrelevant. If we don't realize why he came to us in the first place, we will not be ready for him now. Yahweh's people will long for Messiah, not for themselves, but for Yahweh's sake. They're more concerned about saving the lost and restoring the kingdom than they are about personal effect. Our attitude should be like that of Moshe. Moshe found Israel worshiping a golden calf. Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 and 32, where it says, "Then Moshe returned to Yahweh and said, 'Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made an Elohim of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. And if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written.'" Moshe exhibits a true understanding of Yahweh's character. He was willing to die for his people. Moshe was a selfless man. How we struggle to be like his example. Israel abandoned Yahweh, yet Moshe was willing to give up eternity for their sake. Moshe loved the hopeless sinners, just as Messiah loves the hopeless sinners. We need to pray for that type of love to fill our hearts. We can know all of the prophecies and imagine all of the different scenarios surrounding Yahshua's return. But without that type of love, we haven't got a chance. Yahshua Messiah told us what to do in Luke 19:10. Where he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Until we have that kind of selfless love, no understanding of Scripture and prophecy, the mechanics of religion can comfort us. We must understand what was meant in Ezekiel 33:11, where it says, "Say to them, as I live, declares Yahweh Elohim, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" If we understand the character of Yahweh, we will use all of our efforts and resources to preaching the evangel to unbelievers. We will want that no one be lost. We will be willing to give of ourselves for the sake of they, for the sake of they that do not know Yahshua Messiah. Second Peter 3:9 says, "Yahweh is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Teshuvah. Let's not become involved in imaginations and fantasy. The truth of Yahweh is apparent. Our duty is to the love of Yahweh. Our home is the place of peace. Yahshua Messiah is tarrying for the benefit of the wicked. His desire is that we all be reconciled to Yahweh, to make things the way they were to have been. He paid the price, the bride price, to redeem his bride. But only those that accept his proposal, his gift, will inherit the kingdom, that place of peace. Hallelujah.